trying to read through the Bible chronologically in 1 year. And so far, I'm right on track. In fact, a little bit ahead of schedule, and I praise the Lord for that. We're going to be in the book of Ruth. If you find Judges, this is right after Judges. Ruth, chapter 2. And let's start by reading just a few verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servants, "That was said over the reapers, whose damsel is this?" Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this day that you've given to us. Lord, what a great gift of being able to have this day. Though the weather outside, not the best, but we can glorify in who you are and what you've done with our lives, especially being Christians. We have so much to be thankful for. Father, as we turn our attention to the teaching of your word, we pray and beseech you to teach us as only you can. Lord, I want to be a blessing, but I cannot be a blessing if I do things on my own power. I need your power this morning. Help me, Father God, to glorify your name and to lift you up high. We thank you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Ruth is one of those books that I've just grown to adore. There's so much in this book that I'm always finding something new. In chapter 2 alone, I'm just going to hit a couple things and then get into to my lesson. A couple things I'd like to look at. First is found in verse number 2 of chapter 2. And Ruth the Moabitess. Ruth the Moabitess, you see time and time again from chapter 2 until chapter 4. In chapter 1, whenever you see Ruth, you just see Ruth. You don't see Ruth the Moabitess. They are in Moab. But now that she has returned with Naomi to Bethlehem, Judah, or to the house of bread and praise, they all refer to Ruth as Ruth the Moabitess. Let's not forget how that can apply to our lives. Who are you? Who are you? Let's not forget that if you're saved today, that you are a sinner who happens to be saved by grace. Okay? So let's not forget who you are. What that's going to do is it's going to help you not to have a big head. It's going to help you not to look down on someone else. You know, each person struggles with their own sins. And so easily, we can go that way as well. So we need to pray for one another, not look down upon one another. Remember who we are. I'm Jeremy the sinner. You can put your name there as well. Another thing is found in verse number 3, and her hap was to light, or she happened to go to a certain field. I see this as the will of God. The will of God working. Often when we're looking for the will of God, we want to see that big neon sign that says, "Over here, come here." Well, that doesn't happen in this case. If you're familiar with Ruth, you know that Ruth meets Boaz. They get married, which is very important for us to see because that's the line of Jesus Christ. Without that happening, we wouldn't have Jesus today, or not how we would know it. So I can see Ruth as she goes into the field. She's looking. The angel's saying, "Oh, Ruth, please pick the right spot." No, it wasn't picking the right spot. God led her, but God led her with her heart. Okay, she happened. And God will lead you the same way. You get in your Bible, you read your Bible, you pray, and God is going to lead you. And fourthly, real quick thing to hit, thirdly, found in verse 4, "And Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee." Here we see business or corporate, or we see employer-employee relationship. How needful are both of them? If an employer has a job but no one takes it, that's not good. If people are looking for employment, there is no job, well, that's not good. So both are needed. And both need to pray and ask God's blessing on each other. Both are needed. Both are needed for inside the church. Not everyone can be the pastor, right? You have a wonderful pastor. Sometimes he struggles a little bit with beauty, or handsomeness, no. Praise the Lord. No, you have a wonderful pastor, and it's needful to have a wonderful pastor. But if a pastor doesn't have a congregation, what good is the pastor? If the church has a congregation but no pastor, both are needed. And both need to ask God's blessing for each other. Let's take that one step further. Missions. Church can't go everywhere. That's where your missionaries come in. We need each other. And we need to pray for one another. Support one another. And so often, missionaries get prayer letters out to the different churches hey, we need prayer in this area. But many missionaries don't know how to pray for the churches because there's a lack of communication. And that is needed so we can properly support one another in prayer. That's not our Sunday school lesson, though. Our Sunday school lessons will begin at verse number 2. We're going to see some strange laws. Now, they seem strange because of one reason. Our culture doesn't match up with the Bible. Dealing in China, I've noticed a few things. "Pastor, this is a great message, but that's for your culture, it's not my culture." Well, I share with the people, the problem is not it's not your culture. The problem is your culture is not matching up with the Bible, and your culture needs to change. Whenever we have a problem, we like to say, "Oh, it's my culture. My culture is different." Well, if it is, change it. Change your culture to match up with the Bible, because you're going to experience some big-time culture shock in glory if you don't prepare now. Okay, to say that might not necessarily be good doctrine, but it's a good idea now to get ourselves lined up with the Bible in all of our areas, and that's for all cultures. But here we're going to see a few different laws that take place that might seem strange, and I'm going to try to point these out and explain them and draw in a conclusion. By the way, Boaz. Who is Boaz's mother? Rahab the harlot. Rahab. Okay. Who is Ruth is what? A Moabitess. Both of these are originally outside the congregation. They're not a part of the Jewish race. Now, that's going to be good news for us in a little bit. It certainly is. But let's look at verse number 2. "And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter." So what Now, Ruth is doing, she's clinging on to a law that we'll find in the Old Testament in Leviticus. This law was God ordained to, well, let's look at it. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 9. And when ye reap the harvest of your lands, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the fields, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Okay, so God said, don't reap it all. And we'll find down in verse number 10 that God says, it's for the poor, for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So God says, hey, when you harvest, leave some of it. Okay? Well, in turn today, how do we reconcile that? How many in here are farmers today? No one in here. All right? How many grew up on a farm? All right. How many of you, when you're growing up on a farm, you left some of your crop behind? Not purposely, eh? Wasn't done. Not done today. Well, we change that today to our finances. Our finances, we are to keep the first part of that, or the first tenth of that, aside for the work of God. And then, of course, on top of that, there is offerings, different offerings. Okay, let's also look at Leviticus 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Verse number 22. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field. When thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and unto the stranger, unto the Lord your God. So basically the same thing. Okay. Let's go back to Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And when she had risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. So what he's saying is, hey, let her come up to where you are harvesting. Okay? Let her get right there. And let her glean some of that. Number 15, 16. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Okay? So, here Boaz is saying, purposely, I want you purposely drop some. Now, Boaz is looking at a law found in Deuteronomy. Okay, so let's keep your place in Ruth. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse number 19. When thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field, and hast forgotten a sheaf in thy field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all thy works of thy hands. Okay? So, God is saying, hey, leave some things for the poor, the fatherless, and you do it purposely, you're going to be blessed for it. Okay, so this was above the commandment. Okay, this would be not your tithes, but your offerings. Okay, you're going to be blessed for it. And here Boaz is doing this, and he's going to find out he's going to get blessed in a special way. Okay, probably more so than what he had expected. And we'll find out as we give that above the tithe, we're going to find a wonderful gift that God's going to give in our lives. And it's going to come in ways that we don't ever expect it. When I was first in China, I just arrived, and a few months later was a week-long holiday. In China, they have two, sometimes three, week-long holidays. Those are nice. But they also make you work Saturday and Sunday for that week-long holiday. But anyways, I went somewhere, came back, and something was missing. My wallet. Inside my wallet was all my cards to get funding from the States. I had with me $6, maybe $10. Not enough to make it very long. At first, I did what most of you would probably do. Oh, no. Droopy face. But then, not long after that, I got excited. Hey, I know God has brought me here, and I'm going to see God work in a special way. Now, look at me. I'm not quite like Brother Rich. I'm not saying he's fat. But anyways, it's not going to take long for me to get dead. Right? Well, I survived. God provided my needs. It took over a month for those cards to get reissued and brought back to me. But God met my needs. I promise you, God will meet your needs. He's faithful and true. Okay, let's go back to Ruth again. Okay, Ruth chapter 2, verse number 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Now this is important. In today, we might not necessarily recognize it, but it is important in this time because the kinsmen would be essential in three different areas. One, dealing with land. Two, dealing with the person. And three, dealing with wives. Okay, so these three areas are very essential, how God had met the needs. We'll look at Leviticus chapter 25. This is going to deal with the land, first of all. Leviticus chapter 25, verse number 23. The land shall not be sold forever. So if a person were to sell a piece of land, they couldn't sell it forever. For the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possessions, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possessions, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. So land couldn't be sold forever. It could be only sold for 50 years at most. Okay? Or a family member could come by and redeem that land, bring it back into that family. Likewise, that's also with the person. Let's look at verse 47. And if a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him in his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself. Okay? So a person sells himself, basically as a slave, he could be redeemed by a family member. A family member says, hey, I'm going to buy him back. That's good news. That's great news. And the third part that we see is in Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Verses 5 and 6 to start with. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no children, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Okay, this is the strange part for most of us. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which shall beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. Okay, so God has a law. Someone gets married, and the husband passes along that she doesn't have child. She is not to get married to anyone else. She should marry within that family again. Now, that will put together some strange circumstances, I would imagine. Let's just say someone in this church has a brother. They go down the road and they start courting someone and who they really like. But the brothers get together. I don't like this one so much. Why might they not like? They might say, brother, you need to be careful. Why? Because they might have to do that job of that kinsman redeemer part. So God is putting some pressure on that family. Okay? Now, do they have a choice? They do. Let's look at it. And verse number 7, and if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate. The gate is where all the legal things would take place. Unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refused to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duties of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders, and that will be at the gates where everybody's there, and loose off his shoes from his feet and spit in his face, and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto the man that will not build up his brother's house. Wow. Quite interesting. That's very important for us, though, because without a redeemer, and this is what Ruth needed, was a redeemer. Without that redeemer, we wouldn't have the line of Jesus Christ. The line of Jesus Christ is important. Now, in order for someone to be redeemed, they have to have a close family member. How could Jesus Christ be a close family member to us? Well, because of two people, Ruth and Boaz. Boaz being, I forgot her name. Rahab the harlot. And of course, Ruth being of the Moabitess. So that's important for us. That's something for us to hold on to. Let's go ahead and close with prayer.